live from American Family Field. The Brewers are getting set to take on the Atlanta Braves in a Wednesday matinee. 1:10 first pitch this afternoon. Jesse Nelson and Mark Tauscher for the time being on Wilde and Tausch. Jason Wilde on his way over to Packers minicamp practice number 2, where he will share insights and observations from Titletown coming up at the bottom of this hour. Tausch, I'll admit I was away from the headset while Brian Bulaga was on for a good portion of his time. I was putting together a cool video that you will have from our ESPN Wisconsin social media platforms. I did a little tour of the broadcast booth here for everybody when I got in this morning, part of when I got early.
Yeah.
So I did a little tour of the stadium and the broadcast booth for everybody to see. So we had some fun with that. So I was finishing putting that together. Interesting stuff from Brian Bulaga, as always, from what I did hear.
What did you hear?
The offensive line conversation is always interesting.
How much
when
do people
guys
care about
that?
The offensive line conversation?
More than I think we think. I think, like, obviously the skill position players, the casual fan is going to know the fantasy guys.
Yes.
So quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, kicker.
Okay.
I think defense, you kind of look at the defense as a unit, or at least by position. You say the secondary, the linebackers, the line, the front seven, whatever. Offensive line is definitely the one that gets it's the least sexy that fans care about, but we know it's the most important. The closer you are to the ball when it's being snapped, I think the more important you are for the success of your team. And the Packers' offensive line this year, ultimately, I think the question I have is just, do we believe in that unit this year? Because it seems like every offseason, there's the question of, we're replacing somebody. This guy doesn't have as much experience. Is it going to work? Is this going to be okay? Are we going to pay this guy? And every year, it ends up being totally fine. Like, I can't remember the last time the offensive line was actually struggling for the Packers. I think it was about a decade ago, and it was a season that there wasn't a very good playoff run. Every other time, the offensive line feels like it's the least of our concerns when we get to November, December, except for Philadelphia in the playoffs last year.
Well, I think we look at it and say, if you don't give up sacks and you run the football pretty effectively, you feel pretty good about it. And I think fans look at it and say, well, Green Bay ran it good. Josh Jacobs had a great season. And Jordan Love only got sacked 17 times. That's pretty good. And you can evaluate it that way and say, all right, well, and I think a lot of us that aren't in there breaking down film and watching every little nuance probably are like, okay, well, and I think we all realized that Josh Myers was going to be, really before last season started, we thought that was going to be it for him, and that was indeed the case. But I just keep coming back to what Brian Gutekunst did and not said. And what Brian Gutekunst did was revamp and try and change some things around with this offensive line. So that was obviously something they felt needed to improve. We don't know. I think Elgton Jenkins at center is going to be an upgrade. Elgton Jenkins is. And you pay Banksy big bucks to come in. You're expecting him to be physical and expecting him to be a bell cow on that offensive line. And then you don't know what you have at left tackle yet, and as we just spoke on, because I think they want Jordan Morgan to be the starting left tackle. We have no idea if he can play starting left tackle in the NFL. We hope, and he has the skill set to do it, but it takes time to kind of figure out what how you go about your business, and he, you know, unfortunately missed so much time last year. So I think that that position grouping is going to be the focal point. While everybody's going to be watching Golden and Savion Williams and all of the young wide receivers, this needs to sort itself out. And with limited padded practices, and you have those joint practices, I would think that is the mission. That's going to be the top thing for this offense to figure out and get solidified as soon as they can.
One of the YouTube dwellers, I'll have to go back and see which one it is here, but somebody asked a question here, and this is totally pivoting from the offensive line conversation, but as we get set for Jason to share his insights and observations while the Packers take part in mandatory minicamp practice number 2 in Green Bay coming up here at 10:30, is Javon Bullard hurt? Why don't they try him at corner? If there's, if we assume the starting safeties will be Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams, is Javon Bullard, as a former first-round pick, good enough to try and slide over there instead of the Bo Melton experience that they're trying here during minicamp?
Bo Melton's not going to be playing starting corner or slot at this point. Javon Bullard will get opportunities. what you want to have happen is you want to get your crew, you want to have your preferred starters out there, and then you want to see who can add to that mix, who, if anybody, is vulnerable and maybe not where they want it, where you want them. I think the spots that you feel are locked up are Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams. I think both of those guys. And then you know that Hobbs, even though we haven't watched a ton of him, he is going to be out there playing. Keyshawn Nixon will be out there playing. Valentine will be out there. But we don't know what roles they're going to be in yet. I would venture to say, and I think if I was a betting man, I know everybody has got Keyshawn as kind of the guy. I think they want Valentine to emerge and be the guy. I think they want him as their number one corner for the majority of the season. Keyshawn can hold on to that spot, but I just get the hunch they're going to want Valentine to be the guy when push comes to shove.
This picture of you giving Prince Fielder advice looks extra good when we've got our single
shot,
up here,
man,
on our video stream on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. Check it out if you haven't yet. By the way, we are here at American Family Field, 110 first pitch for the Brewers and Braves. I did see, Tausch, that during one of our commercial breaks, you were handed a little gift, a leftover that they must have stored
away
for you, because it was a hot commodity. The greatest giveaway of all time at American Family Field.
I think we
could
make the case, and I am a huge cribbage fan. I might even go over pregame and go get a game if Levo is playing, or I think Vinny Rattino. I am all in on cribbage. It's not as good as Sheephead, but it's a better game than Euchre. The best giveaway I think the Milwaukee Brewers have ever had. I think the Giannis baseball jerseys that I know 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee has given out are dynamite too. I think the WTMJ cribbage board is the best because it's practical. It's a great souvenir, and it's useful. It's got the numbers on it, so you don't have to sit there and say, where are we at?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good giveaway.
It's a great little giveaway, and I'm very happy to have one.
It can only be rivaled by the other thing you won this week, whether it was legitimate or not, the Vortex swag bag featuring a rangefinder, which is what we are giving away in Wilde and Tausch trivia on Friday. For the final time, we'll have a rangefinder to give away. The swag bag will continue from our friends at Vortex Golf, but this is the last rangefinder we have available. So, caller number 9 right now at 844-770-3776. Caller number 9 for Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf is coming up next. Caller 9, 844-770-3776. Chrissy Birdsall, our producer today in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison, is standing by. It is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday presented by Down South Terry in Pleasant Prairie.
Terry from Pleasant Prairie.
So you may recall at the AmFam Championship, a lot of fans of the show stopped by and said hi when we were right outside the entrance on Friday. Kevin in Pleasant Prairie and his wife Terry stopped by, and Terry said, "I've got trivia questions for you," and she sent them in. So Terry in Pleasant Prairie, Down South Terry in Pleasant Prairie, presents today's Wisconsin Geography Wednesday questions. Caller 9 right now, your chance to win a Vortex swag bag and rangefinder. 844-770-3776. We will play Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf coming up next after Tausch tells us about Hard Rock Casino Rockford, where our summer tour take us next Wednesday.
We'll have to figure out who's driving. I'm excited. I'll drive. The new Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Heading down there again. We love it. The Wilde and Tausch show is going to make a very interesting play down there next week because they have over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, including more than 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book, a rock shop. They got it all. I think Bradshaw's going to be down. They got a big show coming up in the end of June. Hard Rock Casino Rockford also showcases museum-worthy collection of more than 500 pieces of authentic music memorabilia. Items from artists like Prince and Cheap Trick, Eddie Vedder, the Blues Brothers, and Taylor Swift. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination, just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. Coming up next, it's Wilde and Tausch. Wilde and Tausch back with you. Jesse and Tausch for the time being as Jason Wilde goes to get situated in Green Bay in a place very near to where football is being practiced at mandatory minicamp. We're not technically allowed to say where he is. I think that's a rule he likes us to follow. So very nearby to football being practiced up in Titletown where he will share his insights and observations as the Packers get set for day two of mandatory minicamp in Ashwaubenon. Speaking of Ashwaubenon, we'll see if it's one of the answers provided by Down South Terry in Pleasant Prairie.
So what happens if Down South Terry's husband is the contestant? Have we thought about that?
No. I guess we hadn't.
Okay.
We can check the official contest rules at ESPNWisconsinContest.com. I will personally say that I love when our fans provide questions. Number one, because it means less work for me. And number two, because especially when we hear the defense attorney from the trial I was part of last week and all the fans coming up to us at the AmFam Championship and anywhere else they run into us, one of their favorite things that we do is Wilde and Tausch trivia, and specifically Wisconsin Geography Wednesday.
People absolutely love it. And that one guy on YouTube that loves it too.
And the one guy on YouTube who always tunes out when we play trivia. So he gets a break, just like Jason, and he'll join us next segment for Packers minicamp observations. But first, it is time to play Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf. We welcome in today's trivia contestant. It's our old friend who I do not owe a meal to at this juncture, Mike the Wedding DJ. Mike, welcome back to Wilde and Tausch. How you been?
I've been well. I wish I'd been able to call closer to the trial you were on, because I had a piece of advice. I was on a trial over 30 years ago, the only one, first time I went through jury duty, and I was told if you get picked, that if you never want to get called for jury duty again, volunteer to be the foreman. I did. I was picked as the foreman. Thanks to me, the person was convicted, and I have never been called again. Not even to come in, not even to call to check. Never heard from the court system again.
Wow. And you think it's because you were the foreperson that you haven't been called back?
I believe so. I was told by somebody that I knew in the legal field that, hey, if you get picked on the jury and you don't want to do this ever again, volunteer to be the foreperson. And if you get picked, chances are you'll never get picked again.
Mike, I don't want to call you a liar, but I'm going to call you a liar because
I am not lying. I am Mike. I've never been called again. Never.
Okay. Your experience, I believe you are telling the truth. However, the foreperson that we ended up selecting on our jury had previously been a foreperson twice. So this was person's third time as a foreperson. So I don't like that narratively. I think that makes sense for you, but this person did it twice. 30 years go by, and then has the opportunity to do it a third time. So I don't. Maybe you're onto something. My experience suggests otherwise. We can talk more about it next time I buy you dinner. How about that?
Ooh, sounds good. When are we going? All right.
I'm busy. All right, Wisconsin Geography Wednesday presented by Down South Terry in Pleasant Prairie. Tausch, I have not even handed you the questions.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to play.
I know you like playing along here with Mike the Wedding DJ. Question number one, Mike. Last week, our old pal Aaron Rodgers signed a one-year contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers. If Jason Wilde wants to drive to Pittsburgh to chat with his buddy ACR, from which of these Wisconsin burgs should he leave to drive the shortest distance to Pittsburgh?
Oh, wow.
Is it Fitchburg, Cedarburg, or YouTube Dwellersburg?
Well, obviously it's not C. Pittsburgh's obviously right near me and Middleton here, so I know where that is. I don't know exactly where Cedarburg is, so...
Remember, you're looking for the shortest distance to Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. So it's the one that's easternmost. God, let's see. 50-50 guess. I think Cedarburg kind of near the Milwaukee area a little north. So I'm going to guess Cedarburg.
Cedarburg, after much deliberation.
No wonder you're on. God, I don't know if I want to be on your jury if you're deliberating that
longer
long
deliberation
night.
Than we had last week.
Cedarburg's going to be correct.
You are correct. Yeah. Nicely done. Mike, you're on the board. Go a little faster with this next one, please. Question number
Jesse's
two.
Jesse's getting after you a little bit, telling you you're a liar and telling you to move it along.
I mean,
what kind of lunch did you guys have? Was it contentious?
Jason's over at minicamp. He's got five interviews he could have done while you were figuring out question number one. Question two, Mike the Wedding DJ. Latitudinally, which of these Wisconsin cities is the farthest north? Farthest north latitudinally. Is it Wanakee, Wautoma, or Waupaca?
Oh, it's not Wanakee. That's my hometown. So it's between Waupaca and Wautoma? Oh, God.
Those are the two options.
There's a lot of, or I was hoping you'd say Wausau, because Wausau would have won. Okay, so it's between, and now I'm confused myself, Wautoma and Waupaca?
That is correct.
Okay. I'm going to, oh, jeez. I'm going to say Waupaca.
Jason just asked a full question to Matt LaFleur while you were trying to figure that one out. Tausch, do you agree?
I do.
And you are both correct. Waupaca is the furthest north of those three Wisconsin cities. Mike, you're a perfect 2-for-2, and I don't want to jinx anything, but it's Wednesday. We're going into question three, and as of right now, in our final week, giving away a Vortex rangefinder as part of our prize pack this week from Vortex Golf, we have a perfect week in play.
That's a pretty good start, yeah.
Question number three, Mike the Wedding DJ. Longitudinally, which of these Wisconsin towns is the farthest west? Farthest west in the state of Wisconsin. Is it Mount Horeb, Mount Pleasant, or Mount Sterling?
Well, I know where Mount Horeb is. I know where Mount Pleasant is. So I am going to guess Mount Sterling since I have no idea where that is.
So you have no idea, so you're going to guess that one. Interesting play, Tausch.
I would have went the same route as he did.
Mount Sterling, as this is provided by Terry in Pleasant Prairie, is in Crawford County on the western border of the state of Wisconsin.
Let's go.
That is correct. Mike, you are a perfect 3-for-3, all four entries. Perfect week still going into Thursday in our final week of the Vortex Swag Bag and Rangefinder Prize Pack from our friends at Vortex Golf. Nicely done, Mike. It took a while, but we got there. Nicely done. Thanks for playing as always, buddy.
Them all.
Great to hear from you.
I guessed all three. Guessed them all. Had no clue.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Thanks, Mike the Wedding DJ.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys. Love you.
Mike. There it is. Mike the Wedding DJ, our contestant today in Wildy and Tausch Trivia presented by.
You definitely tell Mike likes to jabber.
He likes being in front of a microphone.
That's fun. Yeah,
I can relate.
I know you can. That's probably why you two are such good buddies.
Yeah, and it's also why my time is done in front of the microphone. Jason Wildy will return coming up next, sharing his insights and observations from Green Bay as Packers minicamp practice number two gets underway up in Titletown. Whether you're in Mount Sterling, Ashwaubenon, Fitchburg, or anywhere in between, Tausch, there's a Quick Trip you can find.
I stopped at Quick Trip this morning. My son grabbed one. He likes those little croissant-witches with
the little breakfast
sandwiches.
Yeah, those are good.
I just grabbed my normal Cafe Caruba. I didn't spill it, which was nice. And are you ready to climb to the top? Gear up for Quick Trip Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Every sip will get you closer to the summit. Now through August 17th, you play each day for free right in the Quick Rewards app and score bonus plays with every eligible item you grab, like an ice-cold Pepsi, Mountain Dew, hydrating Gatorade. You can get it $5,000. That's the cash prize every time. And it reaches the top prize of $250,000. So get climbing now in the Quick Rewards app. We also got a bunch of great deals going on. 99 cents a loaf for quickly ripe bread. 73% lean ground beef for $2.99. Simply hash browns shredded, $1.99. We get it. You're busy. Head on down to Quick Trip. Take advantage of everything Quick Trip has to offer, like rewards on every purchase and ordering ahead. Quick Trip, we will see ya next time.
Once again, thanks to Down South Terry in Pleasant Prairie. Solid trivia question.
That was good. Really good trivia
Terry.
Questions.
She is welcome back to share more at any point, especially Wisconsin Geography Wednesdays. And Up North Joe gets his summer sabbatical to continue. Coming up next, Jason Wilde joins the show from Packers minicamp day number 2. We're at American Family Field getting set for Brewers Braves. That's all straight ahead on Wilde and Tausch.
A finalist for Best of Madison Radio Team for the 3rd year in a row. Help us win it all this year and vote every day this month at madisonmagazine.com/BOM.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down.
That was some scintillating trivia that I listened to on my drive over. Who was that that did those, Jesse?
Down South Terry in Pleasant Prairie provided the questions, and Mike the Wedding DJ provided even longer answers.
Yes, I felt a little contentious at points there with you guys are supposed to be friends. You're kind of getting after him.
Jesse didn't like he was getting so much shine on air, I don't think. Jesse's like, this is my segment. I'm running the show here. This is for me, not for you. And it did feel like there was a little rope twisting between the two of them. Tug of war, if you will.
Our buddy Jeff Levering from the Brewers Radio Network and, at the TV network, FanDuel Sports Wisconsin, but he's going to be returning to radio, we hear, coming up for the next series with the Cardinals. He stopped by. I was trying to put on a good show for my buddy Jeff, and Mike the Wedding DJ took my airtime.
He was trying to show off is what he was doing. Mm. I don't know how it went.
Do you think being unpleasant to avid listeners to the show is a good way to show off for Jeff Levering? That would be my only question.
Mike's a tier one of ours. He's in it for
he
the
gets
long
it.
Yeah, Mike,
he gets,
Mike
it.
Gets it. Okay. Yeah, we had dinner.
He's going to listen no matter what. Yeah, you did. Doesn't sound like that'll be happening again. All right. The stretch period is over, and the Packers have taken to Ray Nitschke Field, whacking some tackling dummies over there, hitting the bags, the sled. So we are underway here in Green Bay. Tausch, I enjoyed our conversation with Bulaga. He's a little more pessimistic on Bo Melton's move or additional responsibilities than maybe we are. Is there something that you're pessimistic about? Like, we talked about the corner group, right? They went with those top three at that position, and we talked about the depth. If there's anywhere that you're pessimistic or skeptical of, off the top of your head, what is it?
Yeah, pass rush. I think that for as much as you can hope that guys will develop, Rashawn Gary is Rashawn Gary. Kenny Clark was obviously dinged up. He's getting older. Devontae Wyatt needs to have that contract year,
mm-hmm.
because that to me, if this group isn't better against the big boys, I thought they were fine against, beat up offensive lines, and they did some good things last year too. I think a lot of times we just say things and it's like the stats would tell you that they got after the quarterback in some games. The big boy games against the big boy teams that end up being around in January, that was not the case. And we need to see more one-on-one winners. So I don't care who that's going to be. If it's Enik Barre, if it's Van Ness, if it's Brenton Cox, it doesn't matter to me who elevates. Someone needs to elevate. And there's a couple of young guys that got brought in that are mid-round picks. Good stories. Someone needs to elevate in that group because I think for as much as, we've talked about the defensive backfield and not having a one, and I think Xavier McKinney in that group is going to be just fine if that pass rush improves. And if you want to be pessimistic and you want to question Brian Gutekunst, you can ask a simple question, say, did you do anything to improve that part of this game? And other than letting young guys develop and grow into more of a, into a bigger role, it's tough for me to answer that question with a resounding yes. So that, to me, if I want to be negative, and I'm not sure why I need to be negative, but since you asked, that's where I would go.
Well, I don't think it's negative. I think it's healthy skepticism, right? Because one of the storylines of the offseason thus far has been the fact that they changed defensive line coaches. And it was interesting, you know, you and I both really like Kenny Clark. One of the reasons why is because he is on But when he is on our show, he is unfailingly honest.
Yep.
And when he was asked about Jason Rebrovich, I have not seen a player punt on a question as quickly as he did in quite a while. And I don't know all the details there, but I think the question was phrased in some way of, you know, when your position coach loses his job, you know, do you guys as players feel some measure of responsibility for not playing better and causing him to be fired? And Kenny Clark was not going to get involved in that discussion at all. And I thought it was really, he said, I'm not even answering that question.
Did you ask him why he didn't want to answer the question?
Well, no, it was one of these awkward, enormous groups because we don't have locker room access this offseason. But I can tell you what I think it is.
What is it?
I don't think those guys thought Jason Rebrovich was helping them get better. That's what I think. Okay. And you know, I am curious because you obviously have loved your offensive line coaches, whether it was Larry Bechtel, whether it was Joe Philbin, whether it was Campy. But when can a change in the position coach change the trajectory of that position in a significant way? Because there have been rave reviews about DeMarcus Covington. He's been a coordinator in the league. He's doing a bunch of different drills that he's, you know, what it reminds me of was when Luke Getsy took over as the wide receivers coach and they're catching tennis balls and dropping bricks that they're catching to work on their reaction and their hand strength. Like he's kind of doing the same thing with those defensive linemen of, you know, he's got a broomstick across the arms of the tackling dummy to remind them to get low. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. And so I would be curious, can that have a meaningful impact on a group to just change the guy that's coaching the position?
It can. I think the players need to be more, you know, on the self-motivating side of it. But there is no doubt, I think players are always looking for an edge. And to me, it was more about film study and bringing things from tape to practice.
Mm-hmm.
The skill set, it's about fundamentals for offensive linemen. I think defensive linemen, there's different techniques. For us, it's get your hands inside, move your feet, position yourself properly, and then, you know, setting anchors. And there's, you know, only so many drills that you can do, but there's punch and pass. There's things that I think you know translate to the games, and you appreciate that. For these guys, it's about honing in and really doing maybe more of an individualized approach. It can't just be – offensive line can be more groupthink. It can be more KBN if you're looking for it that way. Whereas from a defensive side of the ball – everybody's got different skill sets. Bryce Paup joined us a couple weeks ago, and I think he gave some really good insights into you can't just say, well, here, you just club the guy. That's okay, great. How do you set it up? How do you go about it? And can I do it? Is that in my bag of skills? So I think studying the guys and understanding it and then having a counter off of a counter, that's what I think those guys are looking for because they know – you get paid by producing sacks and pressures. That's where these guys make their bread. And if you can help me do that, I am going to be a very willing listener.
If you were willingly listening earlier, you heard me say something to Brian Bulaga about the left tackle situation. That conversation will not be going the way I intended it to. I'll explain coming up after Tausch tells us about American Family Insurance.
Well, just like a great team needs great protection up front, American Family Insurance knows your family needs it too, and that's why they made life better by protecting our dreams with the right home and auto policy. So insure carefully, dream fearlessly, at American Family Insurance. We are at American Family Field down here for the Brewers today, and we're excited about that. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com.
I'll tell you what's going on at left tackle today, and we'll get ready to talk to our good friend Bill Schroeder next. It's Wilde and Tepsch. We'll talk to our good buddy, The Rock, Bill Schroeder, not to be confused with The Rock, Larry McCarron, who is keeping a watchful eye over the Packers' offensive line drill work, which does not include today Rashid Walker. So, Tausch, if they were rotating day by day, and today was going to be Rashid's day, it is not Rashid's day. He's working the ropes. Swing him up and down.
Is he not healthy, or is he?
Well, he practiced. Yeah, he's. Well, no one's in pads, right? Because it's mini camp.
But
he's not in a helmet. He has his jersey on.
So he's rehab.
So he's in the rehab group, yes, sir.
Okay.
Along with Zane Anderson and a number of others. So I don't know if he tweaked something yesterday. Elton Jenkins riding a stationary bike on the sideline as well. So they're finishing up.
Tour de France is coming up. I think that starts after the 4th of July. So
indeed.
Elton's going to keep working.
So I was hoping we might get some insight into how they were breaking up snaps during the mandatory minicamp at left tackle. Well, that scuttles that plan. So, and no, I don't think, just so people don't think we're implying anything here, I don't think he was unhappy that he didn't work with the ones, so today he's feeling some general soreness and isn't participating. But again, I guess I can't say that for certain, but I find that very unlikely for a guy who's competing to keep his starting job. So we will continue from minicamp, but we will interrupt our Packers conversation with Bill Schroeder from the Brewers Television Network. We'll talk to him to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which will happen in 2 minutes, with Tausch and Jesse live from AmFam Field. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.